Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
We're going to be talking today about Egypt. We're going to talk about Israel. We're going to talk about America. And we're going to be talking about Pastor Michael Youssef, who wrote a book, Jesus, Jihad, and Peace. Today, Christians are under great persecution. Horrific things are taking place. And we're seeing how unresponsive society is and America is to the church being under such great persecution. It's like, you know, what do we need to do with this? Well, we're going to go to an interview that Glenn Beck had on The Blaze with Pastor Michael Youssef, who himself used to live in Egypt. And he was under the persecution of Nasser, that was then, I think, the president then. But know this, know that we are the ones, the very first thing that our president did, his first international speech was at Cairo, Egypt, where he spoke at Cairo University to be able to paint a whole new narrative of how the Muslim Brotherhood was even though they were illegal to be there, President Mubarak, you know, said that they made laws, it's illegal for the Muslim Brotherhood to be there. We invited them in, reportedly, to be able to be there at that speech. And next thing you know, one of the members of the Muslim Brotherhood became the president, President Morsi of Egypt. America participated in that process and what took place. I mean, that's a major thing. And the people begin to cry out. And he's going to talk about this in this interview. What he's talking about is something that we as America, our leader, went there and empowered the Muslim Brotherhood, began to paint a new narrative for Islam, openly made the statement there that I consider it my job as the President of the United States to defend negative stereotypes of Islam in the world, no matter where it is, something of that nature. And all of a sudden, we begin to see this plan unfold. And listen to what's happening today. Now that thing started, I believe, in 2008. Listen to Pastor Michael Youssef, and we've got to get his heart for all the people of the earth and the persecuted church. Watch this.
I want to introduce you to a pastor and an author. The author of a book called Jesus, Jihad, and Peace. His name is Michael Youssef. How are you, sir?
Wonderful. Thank you for having me.
It is good to have you here.
Good to be here.
You're not mincing any words on what is happening in the world, and thank God, because we have very few pastors who are actually standing up for what's happening in the Middle East, and we need more of them.
And in this country.
Yeah. Let's start with the Middle East. I told a story on the air today. ISIS, this last weekend, crucified two children for not following Ramadan.
Right.
They were caught eating. And so they crucified them,
right.
And just like in the biblical times, put their crime up above their head. I mean, it's amazing.
Yeah.
Nobody seems to care.
No.
Why? What's happened to our Christian heart?
What happened to us in the West as in general? Just to back up, I escaped from Egypt back in the 60s under Nasser and experienced firsthand persecution. That's why I escaped.
Can you explain what that, because I don't think people don't have any concept of what's coming. You know, we say, you know, Christians are going to start, you're going to lose your right to conscience. They have no idea what that means. Can you explain a little of what does that mean?
And I've been saying this for 35 years, and people would say to me, it's not going to happen in America. We have the Bill of Rights.
It's coming.
And I've written, and I've written, and I've spoken, and I cannot imagine my seventh, soon to be eight grandchildren going to grow up in this culture where I escaped to come to America for freedom.
Mm-hmm.
Now we're losing our freedom completely. And the Christians, and I am pointing the finger at me as a pastor of a very large church, of a global ministry leading the way in 195 countries,
wow.
Radio and television.
Good for you.
And so I am pointing the finger that we, the pastors, have grown comfortable, and we valued our comfort and our love for sports and our financial security over and above the truth. And in the end, in all these rulings that are coming down the pike, the one that just came and the ones that are coming, are basically making us less and less conscious of the fact that the truth matters.
Mm-hmm.
And so they take words out of their context, such as equality and justice and love wins. They blow them around. They don't mean anything, because the truth is the victim here.
And what is the truth?
The truth is what is the absolute truth, which is declared by God. God is the one who created a man and a woman to anatomically fit, and he said, this is it. This is my will for humanity. This is my design for humanity.
You've seen oppression in the Middle East.
Yes.
So you know what it looks like. Americans don't.
Yes.
Are you seeing the signs that the people like you with your church are going to come under oppression?
I have no doubt. I've been saying this for 28 years.
Right. And how many of the churches do you think will fold? How many churches do you think will say, you know what, just go along?
Right. If you can't fight them, join them.
Yes.
That's more common than you realize. Started in the mainline denominations, and I used to belong to one, started in the mainline denominations, and it's now creeping into the evangelical church. There was a time when the word evangelical meant something.
Yeah.
Meant oangelion, the gospel that is the truth, that I am the way, the truth, and the life. That is the gospel. That Jesus died for all, so whoever comes to him shall be saved. That is gone by the wayside. Now we got a prosperity gospel, we got a feel-good gospel, we got all kinds of stuff that has nothing to do with Christianity. It's a pseudo-Christianity. And that's why you ask me how many will fold. I think they're already folding. So many of them already folded. And that breaks my heart.
I was talking to a leader of a church, a very large church, and he said he thought 50% of congregants of every faith will walk out the door because it's going to get too hard.
It sure
will. It's going to get hard.
Yep.
Okay, so I had a caller today. I want to bring it back to the Middle East. I had a caller today who said to me, Glenn, what do I do? Hmm. Now, we're doing an event in 828. We're trying to just wake up our churches first and get our churches online.
Amen.
But you've been over there. What do we do? What's the best thing an American can do right now with ISIS? Because the government's not doing anything.
Now, can I tell you something very quickly that has happened in Egypt? And I just came back from there 3 weeks ago.
Right.
I was in some of the most amazing experiences I've had. And I used to go every year and preach. But since the uprising, I have not been back. But then the leaders of the church has been inviting.
Al-Sisi is good.
He was a wonderful guy. I'm looking forward to meeting him later this year.
I think he is the guy that so many people have prayed for.
Exactly.
And we've abandoned him.
That's exactly right. For 24/7 were prayer meetings all over Egypt, cross-denominational lines. 2 o'clock in the morning, you get to our church, people were crying. This is under Morsi, the Muslim Brotherhood president. People began to experience the pain, and I'm wondering when will we in America get to that point where we cry to God 24/7? And as a result, God answered their prayers, and 33 million people came to the streets of all the 27 provinces, not just in Cairo, but it's all over. 33 million. BBC said, never in human history have that many people out in the streets in one night. And God raised up Sisi. I am convinced of that.
Yeah, I am too.
And he's a good man. I watch his speeches. They're very inspiring speeches. And he loves everybody. He loves the Christians and he loves the Jews. He loves everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm praying for his safety, of course.
Yes.
And we all need to pray for his safety. But I'm wondering, will it get to that point when we're really economically on our knees like they did under the Muslim Brotherhood, and the Christians began to cry? And as a result, churches are continuing to pray. God is bringing hundreds of thousands of people to Christ who were not Christians.
Yeah. I think our biggest problem And it's always, I mean, the Bible always tells the same story over and over again. Yeah. And it's amazing. You read the Bible and you're like, these people are so stupid. How do they not know? And then you look at it and you really start to think, you're like, holy cow, it's us.
Me.
But the biggest problem is humility. And until you're humbled, and I think the Lord's been kicking us in the head over and over and over again. It's getting worse and worse and worse.
Yeah.
And I think when this strife really happens, when the economic side falls apart, people are not going to know what hit them.
No, because that's our God now. And when our God is taken away from us. And it's the same thing with the people of Israel. I mean, look at the book of Judges. And everybody was doing what's right in their own eyes until they got under pressure. They cried to God. And you read about it almost 12 times throughout the book of Judges. You would say, did you get it?
No.
But I guess every generation
had
to.
Isn't it amazing how quickly we forgot
9/11? Yeah.
I mean, look who we were right after
that. Snooze button.
Snooze button.
Yeah.
That fast.
Churches, synagogues, all were packed with people the day after. Yeah. Now, everybody's back to their normal, joyful leisure. Whatever it is they were into, they went back into it with vengeance.
Think about this. What a powerful, powerful truth that Pastor Michael Youssef is talking about. And we have to awaken to that. We have to awaken to that reality. When you think about this, you know, the big lack of understanding today is the fact that there is absolute truth. I mean, there is truth. I mean, how many people, when you think about it, they say, man, I just hate to read instructions. I just want to look at the picture and try to put it together. I just kind of want to, you know, kind of look at the church from a distance and say, this is what it means to be a Christian. But the truth is, you know, you got spare parts left over when you start putting things together. The way that the manufacturer determines things will be put together, they give us a manual. And it has a detailed thing. The first thing you got to do is pull that manual out and you look and count the screws, count the bolts, count the pieces and the parts. And you got to lay all that out. And then you begin to go, step one, you put this together. Step two, you put this together. And what happens, just like the manufacturer said it would be, you get exactly what was on the front cover of that particular box, what you bought. And that's, there is an absolute truth with those manuals if you just follow them. Well, the Word of God, the truth of God, there's absolute truth, but you've got to actually look at the manual. You have to understand that is the source of truth, all truth. God is the one that says, let it be, and it was. He's the one that said, you know, I spoke all things into existence. I created man. And you think about this, and in Luke chapter 16, Jesus said, verse 10 and 11, he says, whoever can be trusted with very little, I believe it was 16:4, he says, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. That's the scripture. And he's saying that he is the truth. And so you cannot have a relationship with God outside of knowing who the truth is. And the truth is Jesus. And so we're going to talk more about that. And words have to mean something. When people start using the words who don't even know God or walk with God, the words that we have to walk out the fruit of, we have to wake up and say, wait a minute, even though those words were taken, we have to reclaim those words, and still we're supposed to be known for love and being forgiven and following the Lord and these different things.
Awesome. You know, Pastor Michael Youssef.
Yes.
He just he's thinking, I left this. I was persecuted under that kind of dictator, tyrannical type government. And now he's saying he's looking at America, somebody who was under that before, and he can't believe that my kids and grandkids now are going to potentially be under something like that. And we're hearing this side of not being treated like that, which means we can potentially begin to do some things. And that's what that word, if you missed our previous program, you got to go to it. It was the one we had yesterday, but you can see it on the VFN Torch. But talking about martial law, financial crisis, and prophecies and things that are being fulfilled, that we're going to go through some difficult times, but if we go through it rightly and constitutionally, then we'll come out the other side, and it's going to be
good.
It's going to be good. It's going to be better. And if you can survive the discipline and the restructuring.
It's treating us as sons, right?
Yes.
As well,
consider as hardship sons. As discipline.
Mm-hmm.
God is loving on you.
And we're about to be loved on a whole lot here in a little bit.
Yes. So if you just always felt like, you know, I don't think God loves me, things are really going to...
You'll feel like, love.
This is things you can tell people. You can say, I never felt more like a son than ever before. And that means some, quite often, you know, that you're going through something. But he said, you know, Michael Youssef said in this interview is that prior to this, Morsi getting in place, the church wasn't crying out to God and praying 24 hours a day. Mm. But when Morsi got in place, the church began to cry out and pray 24 hours a day. And God answered, according to, I think he said, the BBC reported that this 33 million people showed up in protest of the government that we helped coordinate get in place with Morsi, the reports are.
Can you bring us up to speed on that? Because that's so important. We, you know, we go through history real quick and we don't realize what happened, but I believe our president, first international speech, right?
Yes. As a matter of fact, here he is saying that he considered it his job. As a matter of fact, this is him in 2008, mm-hmm. the first international speech, the Cairo speech, and he's speaking to potentially eight members of the Muslim Brotherhood who are sitting on the front row who were illegal at that time, according to President Mubarak, to even be activated in there. But watch this.
So I have known Islam on three continents before coming to the region where it was first revealed. That experience guides my conviction that partnership between America and Islam must be based on what Islam is, not what it isn't. And I consider it part of my responsibility as President of the United States to fight against negative stereotypes of Islam wherever they appear.
Well, actually, it's to defend America from enemies, foreign and domestic, come against our Constitution to defend our borders. But if that's something, you know, he wants to do on the side.
Right.
He's been doing a pretty good job at that.
Yes.
And you think that the positioning, when they listened and did what he wanted done, or everybody was participating and doing, and we were kind of painting a narrative, our president was there, what happened? It was like it woke the church up. It woke the church up. All of a sudden, the church woke up and began to talk to God. They began to pray and cry out. And God answers with 33 million people gathering in unity. Imagine 33 million people in America gathering on the cause of unjustness. You know, things are being treated, people, you know, like a Muslim Brotherhood leader over your country. They're being crucified, right?
Yeah, I was just going to say, there's nothing like having churches burned and you being flogged and persecuted and attacked and killed to wake you up.
Right.
And that's definitely what happened.
Right. Yes. Well, they were crucifying. They were putting people under the tax. They were closing down they closed down Israel's embassy. Mm. And they had them go back immediately. They began to persecute people and Christians. It was just horrific.
Yeah.
But in that, the church cried out. And he's asking the question, you know, is this what it's going to take for American church to begin to pray 24 hours a day and cry out? You know, and think about it. So it turned out good because God answered the prayers of the church when they cried out and put a leader in that loves the Jews, loves the Christians, and loves people, Al-Sisi, President Al-Sisi. And we actually turned our back on Al-Sisi. When he's a supporter of Israel.
Wow.
He's the one that told Israel, cry out to your God, ask him to support you, and go deal with what happened, you know, as you're being under attack.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Go deal with Iran.
Yeah. And Christians, I mean, we've shared on this program, you can see them inside the church and blessing Christians and standing positive with, you know, with them. And that's very encouraging. But now, if we've abandoned Al-Sisi, that just opens everything wide up now for Muslim Brotherhood, Al-Qaeda, right, ISIS, and everyone else.
And some of the reports are, according to Congresswoman Michelle Bachmann, was that we have members of the Muslim Brotherhood on our Homeland Security, that we purged our CIA and FBI libraries of any mention of the Muslim Brotherhood or radical Islam and being any of our enemies. While in our own states now we have, you know, people in Texas, you know, saying that's what they're doing. And these things are coming to pass and you think, well, we can all get caught up in the Morsi factor, or we could say, is this what it's going to take to motivate us too? Are we going to have to go under deep persecution and suffer great loss it causes us to say, you know what? I'm going to pray longer than 5 seconds in my car on the way to work.
Yeah.
I'm going to live a life of talking with God. I'm going to ask God to move on behalf of others.
Right.
I'm going to see unjust government and I'm going to say, dear Lord, think about it. So seeing that as a negative thing, and it was in regards to Egypt, the church woke up. And now Israel has a friend. They have a friend in the Middle East. It's al-Sisi, the president of Egypt, who's standing with Israel. No, we turned our backs on Egypt. We're not openly supporting them, and we're actually supporting the enemies of Iran, of Israel, with Iran and all that type of stuff. But God is working something out pretty powerfully. The question is where is America in all this? Where is America? And Pastor John Kilpatrick just got a word, and this word just nails it. The Lord was speaking to him or showed him this, the United States of America. These are the words he showed him. United Apostates of America. Mm. As a matter of fact, take a look.
This is what I saw this morning. The United Apostates of America. Boy, when I saw that, my heart dropped. But it really set it for me that America has become, by and large, apostate now. I went upstairs immediately, did some research, looked it up in Webster, and I looked up apostle, one sent out on a mission to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ and establish disciples that will follow his teaching. An apostle is one who initiates great moral reform or one who first advocates an important teaching, belief, or moral system. The highest ecclesiastical office in some church organizations. But look at the term for apostate. Renunciation of the religious faith once delivered by the apostles. Abandonment of a previous loyalty. Defection. I said, Lord, does that mean that all the United States stands with this new law? And the Lord said, no. But he said, the apostates have united, and there's a majority now, and my people are in the minority. It's like a ship going through the water with coordinates. It's been on that course for almost 250 years. There's new coordinates put in, and when those new coordinates are put in, it changes course, and it's turning left in the water, and it's headed right into a major storm.
Lord, raise up mighty men and women. Raise up young people. Raise up voices, not echoes. Voices that can cut through and make politicians and judges shake in their boots. Raise up prophetesses. Put a sure word in their mouth. Let it hit the news channels. Let America know God is not through with America. Revival!
You've just been listening to the highlights from VFN-TV and the Daily Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. Don't forget about our VFN-TV app, where no matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share with your friends. We want to thank our sponsors and partners who make this program possible. Take the time and support our sponsors. You can locate them at VFNTV.com and select sponsors. If you'd like to become a sponsor or a partner, you can do so at VFNTV.com. VFNTV and the Daily Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light.